When you are living on a fixed income, the security of your investments is more important than ever. But sadly, people at that point in their lives are frequent targets of fraud and financial exploitation. That's why in 2015, FINRA created the Securities Helpline for Seniors. It's more than just a call center for investors to report a problem. It's a true resource. It creates a different experience, not just for seniors, but also for FINRA member firms. 2018 is the third anniversary of the helpline's launch, and we are talking to three people essential to keeping the helpline moving. Hello and welcome to another edition of FINRA Unscripted. I'm Kenneth Edward-Piner in our Boca Raton office, where I'm joined by our colleagues who are the managers of the FINRA Securities Helpline for Seniors, Yvette Panetta, Rob Massio, and Brooke Hickman. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for letting us come to Boca to hang out where you guys hang out. And Tell me, Yvette, how did the Senior Helpline get started?
So our EVP at the time was reading an article about seniors and things that were going on. And I think really started talking about people being exploited and what can happen. And she was, this is horrible. How does this happen? How is it okay to happen? And we need to do more. And so she was just very great about that all the time and said, well, we can do something. And that meant we can do something. And there was a call quickly made. And I came back from the holidays and I heard we were starting a senior helpline and it was going to be out of Florida. And what could we do to start it? And just like that, we started, what can we do? What do we need? How does a call center work? And that was it. We didn't want it to be a call center. We wanted it to be a helpline. And that was the one word that we all clung around. And, you know, and here we are.
So what were the goals of the time? You talked about it being a helpline versus a call center. Speak to the goals a little bit about that.
Sure. So we didn't want it to just be a place where you would call and say, I have a problem. We have that. Every regulator has that. It exists. You can call anyone and tell them, I'm not happy, and that's it. We wanted to be able to help. We wanted to do something different that would feel different, both for seniors and also for our firms that we were hearing had issues as well, and they were getting concerned. And so the goal wasn't to time how quickly you can get off the phone, how many calls we can take in. It was, can we make a difference? Can this actually work? Because we were ready to say it wouldn't work if it didn't. And so that's the helpline approach that we took.
What surprised you guys about it since it's been going?
How much you kind of get invested in the people that you're speaking to. So before I became a manager, I was answering the calls as one of the analysts, and you really start to care very quickly about these people. And I had a woman tell me once, thank you for listening, and that, you know, I just wanted someone to listen. And, you know, something like that is just, it's awesome.
Yeah, we hear those type of remarks often, you know, because of you, I can sleep better at night. You know, you've helped me. I was so worried about this. I was so worked up. And just talking to you all, talking to the people on the helpline has really helped me deal with the situation. I think those are great examples of why we do what we do.
Yeah. And have you been surprised by the reaction?
Yeah, I think all around, yeah. There's lots of things I think that surprise us each day. I mean, I know when we first started the helpline, one of the big questions was, is anybody going to call us?
Right.
And right off the bat, as soon as we turned that switch and the lines opened up, we started getting calls. And we've been consistent with the number of calls that we get a day. And we've seen the volume continue to grow and the type of cases getting more interesting.
Let's talk about the numbers from the calls lately. Through the end of March 2018, there have been 12,955 cases. You've had $5,346,614 in change returned, about 101 enforcement case actions undertaken, and about 1,017 referrals to state, federal, and foreign entities. Have you found that after getting the calls that your goals have shifted, or have they been kind of consistent since then?
I have to say, I think they've been consistent. I think it reinforced some of those goals that we had about being able to help. I think sort of the nice things, and I know when you see it, is that what we found is people have a lot more questions and answers. And while we've been able to really help people make a difference, there's not as much widespread abuse as you would have thought in the industry, right, is going into it. You know, it's usually not the registered brokers that are sometimes the most problematic that we're seeing. And I think that's been surprising to me.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes it's just providing education to people and letting them know that, no, you weren't financially harmed, just kind of explaining to them even what their account statement means and just giving them a comfort level through education, really, I think has been helpful.
So that brings us to, how does it work? Can you kind of talk us through, like, how does it function?
Sure, yeah. So it's a toll-free number that investors can call and they'll get a live person. And if they just have a question about their account statement or they need to be pointed to some type of resource to find out information, we can kind of walk them through that. And then if it's something that they actually have a concern about or it's something more egregious, they can provide us those details. And we can either just reach out, you know, directly to the firm or create kind of more of a formal investigation, I guess you could say, and look into the allegations a little bit further.
Can you take a recent case and kind of use that to kind of show us how it functions?
Sure.
Or talk us through one?
Rob, do you want to take it?
Sure, sure. So, again, there's a couple different ways that our cases can go. Some that are kind of more sales practice. So an individual who...
What does sales practice mean?
Sales, something that FINRA would be able to investigate and potentially take an action against, some kind of a regulatory response.
Okay.
So, for example, somebody calls in who's concerned about unauthorized trading within their account. So there's positions in their account that they're looking through their statements and saying, you know what, I never spoke to my rep about that. I never authorized that to take place. So they would contact us and we would take it from there and we would look at it. We would investigate it further as a matter to see whether or not there was unauthorized trading in that account.
But it could even be something like if there is a delay in their account transfer and something that's not so egregious, we can just reach out to the firm and say, why is there a delay? What does the customer have to do to expedite this process? And, you know, things like that are a little bit easier and quicker. There's a quicker response time on something like that.
So a recent case that we had that touched upon that, and I think, Brooke, you might have gotten this call, where there was, during tax time, there was an auditor, a CPA, who noticed that one of his customers had a promissory note from an individual, and he called us. Do you want to talk about that?
Right. So it was, like Yvette said, it was an accountant who called us who saw a promissory note for, I think it was $200,000, between a customer and a registered representative. We contacted the firm, they looked into it and saw that this customer had actually loaned the rep money in order to buy the book of business of another rep. So obviously something like that is a regulatory concern to us. And ultimately, I believe that rep was barred. He was definitely terminated from his firm. So something like that, you know, after investigating it, we can see that there was a regulatory violation and take action.
And then the firm returned the money
right
to the individual.
Right. Yep.
And how do you typically work with the firms? How does that kind of go?
So as we get a call in, we look at each call and we determine what the appropriate response is from the helpline. And we've created contacts at the firms that we get calls for. And we use those contacts to go out and say, this is the call that we have. And again, some of the examples that we've given, those are worst case scenarios. The vast majority of the calls we get, we're either able to answer by pointing the caller to resources that FINRA or other regulators might have, by answering their questions, or by reaching out to our contacts. Through our contacts, we're able to try and resolve some of those easier issues.
So earlier, Ken, you asked about if our goals had changed. And I will say, this goal didn't change, but I think people believed us. So one of the things we told the firms when this started is they thought we just wanted more complaints, right? We wanted to go after them. And we told them that's not the intent of this. We want to be able to provide value, not just to investors, but also to our stakeholders, the firms. And I think we're at a point where they now call us. They now see that we're not playing a gotcha game, that we are actually trying to be able to have them leverage us and to be able to help them when it comes to senior exploitation or senior issues. So I think that partnership is something that's changed, but from their perspective, where they believe that we're not trying to, you know, trick them into something, or we really are trying to be able to provide value.
Have you found by doing this work that your relationships both externally and internally have changed? Because you've just mentioned how the firms are reacting, but it's also benefited FINRA by having this line too, right?
Oh, most definitely. I think, you know, from a personal perspective, it's helped in the conversations that I'm able to have outside of my normal day-to-day and talk about that different perspective of what we're seeing and how what we do helps beyond just an examination. I know, I don't know if Brooke or Rob have a different perspective of that as well.
No, I think that's it. And I mean, we've really been able to foster relationships with firms. So we'll get a call from a firm who sees a problem with one of their customers, or they have a concern about something. They reach out to us, and we have an open dialogue as to, you know, these are some possible actions or possible ways you can address this issue. And that's been an extremely successful approach that we've been able to take through the helpline. It's more proactive things that firms can do to help protect their customers.
And even internally, we've had various district offices contact us during an exam and say, you know, we have concerns about this customer that we came across, maybe not even necessarily a concern with what the registered rep or the firm has done, but is this something, you know, that could potentially be reported to APS, either by the firm or, you know, by us at the senior helpline.
So that's APS.
Sorry, Adult Protective Services.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. There's a lot of acronyms in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, and FINRA is known for them.
Yeah,
absolutely. Speaking of which, there's something else that I think your information feeds into is the investor alerts, which are these tools that our investor education team released for giving information about frauds and scams that are out there and to provide additional information about projects. My understanding is that your team is feeding information that is actually helping support new alerts. Can Brooke or Rob or Yvette, can one of you speak to that?
Sure. So that is one of the great byproducts of our program. So for example, we started seeing a lot of calls that we've been getting regarding binary options. And a lot of these binary options, they are scams in some form. Investor Ed took the information that we collected and they created an investor alert. So it was making people aware of what some potential downfalls with binary options could be. And there's been a few other investor alerts that we have been able to give to Investor Ed. They've developed them and put them out to the public.
One of the things that's unique about the helpline here for us is that we partner with a lot of different groups that you normally wouldn't from a regular everyday standpoint, regulatorily speaking. So we partner with Investor Ed and we partner with our, you know, OFDMI group, which is the fraud detection. And we partner with different people that are hearing things that are going on. And with that partnership with Investor Ed and the foundation, they're able to hear the calls that we're getting. And so we're picking up on patterns and trends. So that partnership doesn't exist in other normal day-to-day things at FINRA.
So it's a good way to kind of cross the bridge.
Sure.
And shake hands or whatever you might say.
Yes.
And I understand that it's also affected some ability to give us more guidance in terms of some new rules that just came out in February 2018.
Yes.
There's this senior rules, and I believe some of the information fed into that. Is that right?
Yes. So some of it helped with the traction. So when we're proposing a new rule, you need to say, why is this new rule? Why is the rule necessary? How is it going to benefit? And I think having the calls and that perspective of the issues that firms were seeing and that we were hearing about gave that traction that this was a rule that was needed in this space.
Because all of it serves as regulatory intelligence. So while it might not necessarily rise to the level of what we call an examination, we maintain information for every call that we receive. And so through that, we were able to see that firms were contacting us and saying there could be a potential issue in this customer's account, but we don't have a power of attorney or anyone on the account. And that, I think, kind of led to FINRA saying, okay, firms should probably have trusted contacts on the account. So that's one of the new or amended rules that came out in February, is that firms are supposed to attempt to obtain a trusted contact on all accounts.
Thank you for fleshing that out.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So it speaks to some of this. You guys have had some success on the regulatory world and making FINRA a better regulator. Can you talk to us about some of the individual success stories you guys have had?
I'll let you guys start since
Brooke, you want to
drive? Yeah, yeah. So one very early on, we had a woman call us from Orlando, and she was 99, I believe, and she had received some account paperwork from her firm, and she thought that her identity had been stolen and that they were trying to make changes to her account. And we had her send us the documents and we looked at it, and it was just a normal updating of the account that firms are, you know, supposed to do every 3 years. So no one had stolen her information. It was a simple update. And she was so relieved and so appreciative of the fact, you know, that we were able to explain that. And, you know, she was just such a lovely lady, and she just seemed so happy and relieved. And to us, it was something that seemed so simple.
But to her, it was a huge issue.
Yeah, right? she lost sleep over it.
Right, right.
She was scared. We could hear the calls, and I remember when Brooke got it, she brought it up. She was so touched because the lady sounded so scared and so really worried about what was going on. And being able to walk her through that and being able to know that, you know, she had reached a point in her life where, you know, somebody wasn't taking advantage of her really was so nice to be able to hear in her voice.
Yeah.
Have you had other calls that have, like, resonated with you over the years?
Yeah.
After all the calls we've had, you know, there's a lot of stories, and, you know, many of them are heartbreaking, many of them are positive, so it's kind of hard to say, you know, which ones we'd want to focus on. But I remember one where we actually had gotten a call from the brother-in-law of a senior. The firm had ended up freezing the account because they suspected that this individual had diminished capacity. It was a situation where we were able to work with the firm, kind of liaison between all the parties involved and investigate to see if there really was any kind of elder abuse or if there was any undue influence or whether or not it was just the firm being proactive and freezing the account based on a suspicion.
And are there cases that have surprised you?
Yes. I think where I've been the most surprised is how many seniors want to leave money to their heirs or, you know, their children, but then how many children are calling us because there's questions in the account where they expect to be the beneficiary and they really aren't trying to take care of the parent. They're trying to take care of that investment for themselves. And we had one senior who called and it was her son, and she was 90 years old and understood her account better than I could understand what was going on in her account. And she was very much with it. And, you know, being able to talk to her and understand that and understand the perspective of the initial caller, that surprised me, I think, the most, that people were so interested in that future money.
It's my money in the future. I want to get it now, or something along those lines.
Exactly.
So they try to go after it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you guys are definitely helping protect. I know that some of you came to this as volunteers. I think, Brooke, maybe you were the first to volunteer after the line kind of got started 3 years ago. Mm-hmm, yeah. What made you do that?
So my parents are of retirement age. So they retired shortly before I started working at FINRA. And they would, you know, go to different financial advisors with their retirement money. And the returns that they were promised were just outrageous. And at the time, I had just started working at FINRA, so I didn't know all that much. But I was like, this seems crazy to me. And I know that my parents have worked so hard their entire life, you know, sacrificed so much to provide for my sister and I, and then also save up enough to retire. And I don't know, it just kind of made me mad that anyone would try to take advantage of them. And
Absolutely.
So luckily they didn't fall for it, but I just wanted to be a part of something to prevent others from potentially falling for that.
And it sounds like the success stories you've had speak to the benefit there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a very rewarding job, I have to say.
So we're 3 years into the helpline existing. What are we hoping for in the future? Are there goals that you have set up for the future? Where is the helpline going?
Do you both want to tackle that?
So, of course, we have big dreams of what the helpline can be and continue to be. So far, you know, in the past 3 years, we've had great successes, great partnerships with firms. We want to continue those relationships. It'll be interesting with the new rules, the elder exploitation rules that FINRA has put out, and now different states are looking at how they're going to tackle that. It's going to be interesting to see how that develops and what our role could be in that, at least in the capacity of getting the word out and having conversations. The call volume, it's something we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We could continue to get more calls. We could slow down. It ebbs and flows, and we've seen that over the past 3 years. But we just really want to keep doing what we've been doing and making positive results and putting the name out there for FINRA.
And perhaps moments like this will help you get more calls.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's our goal. And for those that are listening and might want to call or have family members that might need that assistance, there is a number that you can dial, and it's 844-57-HELPS, which is 844-57-3577. And you guys are open 9 to 5?
9 to 5. Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Monday through Friday,
yep. Not the weekends.
Right, exactly.
Fair enough.
But we return all voicemails.
That's yes. True, yes.
So do you get a lot of voicemails overnight when you come in the next morning?
It depends. We do, but we try to return them as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time to walk us through how the helpline's been going the last few years, and wish you well as we move through the third anniversary of the helpline on April 20th, 2018, and thank you for being here.
Great.
Thank you so much. Yes.
So for all of us at FINRA, I'm Kenneth Unpiner for FINRA Unscripted.
Please note, FINRA podcasts are the sole property of FINRA, and the information provided is for informational and educational purposes only. The content of the podcast does not constitute any FINRA rule or amendment or interpretation to such rules. Compliance with any recommended conduct presented does not mean that a firm or person has complied with the full extent of their obligations under FINRA rules, the rules of any other SRO, or securities laws. This podcast is provided as is. FINRA and its affiliates are not responsible for any human or mechanical errors or omissions. Parties may not reproduce these podcasts in any form or reference them in any publication without the express written consent of FINRA.